Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You can open your Bibles with me over to the Epistle of Timothy. While you're turning there, I just want to thank the families, the brothers and sisters that come out and labored so hard yesterday. And I think some of you could see the fruit of their labors out there, men working hard, watching the sun set on us. And I'd like to think that I could exert every day and wear myself out every day doing something that would glorify the things of God, the kingdom of God. Amen. This is the house of God. This is the properties of God. This is His. Amen. It's not mine. It's not some denomination. It's not some church. It's the Lord, the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is His place. Amen. This is His properties. I'm His servant. Amen. And I'm here to do what I can and what I know to please Him. And the only thing that pleases Him is when we yield our spirit, our mind, and our hearts, and our thoughts, and our life. And the Bible says that we give Him our life as a living sacrifice. And that's just our reasonable service. I want to give Him my life. Amen. I don't want to hold any of it back. The problem is that we still want to keep our life and control our life. We want to have say-so of our life. But we got to totally surrender to Him and get out of the way. Amen. And say, Lord, here I am. Use me. I'm your servant. I don't have any preconceived ideas, Lord God. I don't know where you'll have me, where you'll put me. I don't know what land I'll dwell in. I don't know what city, what state, what country. But I know I'm your servant and I'm yours. And here I am, Lord, use me. And He will, if you could truly do that. But sometimes we serve Him with predetermined ideas. Well, I'll serve Him and do this. I tried that for many years. You know, when I found a calling in my life, I thought, well, you know, I'll do what I can to be obedient to that, but I still want to do my own life, my own things, my own way, and choose where I wanted to do it at, where I wanted to do it, and when I wanted to do it. But you know, brothers and sisters, as I grew in the grace and knowledge of God, I found that that wasn't pleasing to God. I remember when I was being relocated, when I was in the aviation business and traveling around a bit with my father and things, that when I relocated, I would go to a certain denominational church. I thought, well, this is, you know, what I am. You know, but I found that wasn't pleasing to God. And you know, you might call yourself a denominationalist, say, well, I believe this or that, and that's all okay. You know, but you'll find that it doesn't matter what denomination that you choose or that you pick. You'll find that maybe one minister in one church of the same name might have the anointing of the Spirit of God and might love the Word and the truth to the best of his ability. But the other one's just a hireling and he's just there, you know, as a job. And that's sad. It's sad. I would not want to walk or follow after something as such. Amen. I want to follow a man that's full of the Holy Ghost and led by the Spirit of God, that's sincere for people and lost souls. Amen. Pray for me that I could be numbered with them that are concerned for the lost and concerned for souls. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read right here in the second chapter, the first book of Timothy, first letter there. Is your God alive? Amen. Or is your God some God that was crucified 2,000 years ago? You know, people say, well, my God was crucified 2,000 years ago. We're waiting for Him to come back. Well, my God can't die. Never did die. Oh, sure, He died on the cross of Calvary. That's the Son of Man died on the cross of Calvary. You say, oh, no, that was God. I understand the Word, and I know who God is. Amen. And Jesus is God. Amen. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but He rendered Himself both Lord and Christ. God can't die. Some say that Mary's the mother of God. If Mary was the mother of God, I'd be worshiping Mary because she'd be greater than God. Mary wasn't the mother of God. She was the mother of the Son of Man. God has no mother, has no beginning, no end. So if He has no beginning and no end, then how could we say that He was born 2,000 years ago? You see, we lack understanding. We've got to get the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to understand these things. And people go through and they just don't understand things, so they just kind of set it aside and they just go on through their religious vomit, religious wandering, religious browsing around through things. Amen. You know, He's a misunderstood individual. The Jesus that many Americans serve is not the same Jesus I serve. And you say, well, I think, you know, even the Catholics and the Mormons, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Catholics, you know, they got their Jesus. Well, they might think it's the same Jesus that I serve, but it isn't the same Jesus. Because my God is alive. He's well. He is the same to every generation. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. You see, and the Jesus that they've got in many denominational works isn't the same Jesus that I know and that I serve. I serve a God with all power and all authority. I serve a God that is well and alive. I serve a God that lives in me and dwells with me and in you and through us all. Amen. He's a quickening spirit. He's life. He's power. He's salvation. He's not a history book. He's not some God that walked 2,000 years ago. He's ever present in every time and every day and every need. Amen? We need a God that is alive. The Bible says, you know, it talks about the sickening of the heart, a deferred hope. And many people got this hope for the coming of the Lord. That's why the religious order is in such a sickened way. But my Bible says if two or three come together in His name, He's in the midst. Amen? How many believe that Jesus is here this morning? Amen? The Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but it's God speaking through him. So if He's speaking, but see, you're looking for something with observation that you can see with your eyes. But He said, my kingdom is without observation. You see, and we get so natural. And we just go by what we see, what we feel, and what we touch. You know, those five senses. But we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit. Amen? And we need to learn that we got to make this transition into a spiritual world. The thing is that we try to make God natural and carnal. We go back to look at some allegories in the Old Testament. We find that Moses goes up on the mountain and they take and get all their jewelries and things together and they melt them down. They decide they want to make a God that they can see and touch and worship. It's no different today. You know, you think, oh, we don't do that. Oh, yes, we do that. You know, we think about the melting of the metals and the elements of this earth and they're making automobiles and some worship their automobiles more than they do God. You say, I don't see that. Well, think about how much time I've seen them out there washing, and I think you should take care of your stuff. You should wash it and clean it and wax, take care of it. Your things should be precious in your sight. But the thing is if you spend more time washing and waxing and cleaning your car than you do talking to Him, then that might be preeminent over Him. You might be thinking about that more than you do Him. You know, and I think about serving the Lord and giving Him. The Bible says pray without ceasing, pray continually, pray always. And the thing is, how much time do we spend actually talking to Him? How much time do we spend listening to Him? And listening for His name. Let's find out, you know, that when I say that the Jesus that I serve is a different Jesus than many serve, is your Jesus a homosexual? Mine isn't. But you know, there's some churches that believe that He is. Is your Jesus a whoremonger? Now come on now, is your Jesus an adulterer? Now see, this is offensive maybe sounded, but I mean many people's are. When you call yourself a Christian and you say that you're married, we're the bride of Christ. And we can all agree with that, right? We say, hey, I'm the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we say we're the bride. So if we're the bride, why are we bride? Because we're married unto Him. But then yet, if we frolic in this world and fellowship this world, then we're a whore. You think He's married to a whore? If He's married to a whore, what's the Bible say that He is? He's a whoremonger. Now, is your Jesus a whoremonger? No. Then why would you deceive yourself and lie when you fellowship the world, frolic in the world, live in the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, act like the world? Then you say that you're married unto Him and that you're His bride? He's going to marry something that's holy, without spot, wrinkle, and blemishes, pure and clean, undefiled. You see, but we think this is just an inward act. You know, it's just a spirit of holiness. He says body, soul, and spirit. We present body, soul, and spirit holy. Amen. So this is what we need to learn, how to serve God. We need to quit thinking of Him as a history God and one that's coming. We need to make Him alive and well. When we come in together in His name, He's here. He's in our midst. He's in us and through us and in us all. Amen? This is what the Bible teaches us. And we got to start believing that. I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. He's here.
Amen.
Amen? And when He comes back to this earth, it ain't for the church. He's coming back, brothers and sisters, for the Jews. The church is already caught away and hid in with Him. The Bible said we're hid away in Christ, dwelling in heavenly places. Yeah. Well, are you in heaven, Brother Rob? I sure am. You say, man, I have a real problem with that. I know, because you're natural and carnal. I'm in heaven. Yeah. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You're a man and die like a mere man from a lack of knowledge, but I'm a God. You say, oh, can't teach that kind of stuff, brother. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He said, you are gods. I'm a son of God. The Bible said, now you are the sons of God. Okay, so if I'm a son of God, what does that mean? I'm born again. I'm born into the kingdom of God. Born of God. Birth of the kingdom. Amen. I'm not no longer a flesh man. I know what you see with your eyes is a man that's flesh and it's accountable and to go back to the dust of this earth. But I'm not speaking after that. I'm speaking after the inner quickening spirit of Jesus Christ that lives and dwells in me that I'm one with. Amen. That's eternal. That's why the Bible said we pass from death unto life. That's why the Bible says that we can't sin. You that are born of God can't sin. Why can't you sin? Because His seed remaineth in me. See, I'm birthed into the kingdom. I'm hid away in Christ. Nothing can be laid to my charge according to the Bible. Well, Brother Rob, when you preach all the time, you said, come out of the world. Be a separate people. Get away from the alcohol. Get away from the drugs. Get away from the tobacco. Stay away from the sports and the frolics of this world. And if I'm hid in and sealed, like, say, why do you preach like that? because we got to rend the veil, just as we started talking about Jesus. We got to make him both Lord and Christ. The Bible says both Son of Man and both Son of God. Isn't this right? He was both Son of Man and Son of God. What am I? I'm both Son of Man. You want me to speak as a man? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I'm born into sin. I'm a sinner. You understand? In my first birth, that's what I am. But I don't no longer speak after that, because I've been crucified with Christ. I've been taken and crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. What is faith? Faith is the invisible. It's an invisible thing of the spirit world made manifest by the things we do see and the things that appear that we call forth the things of God. You see, so we got to rend, just as he said, him both Lord and Christ, Son of Man, Son of God. I'm both Son of Man, Son of God. Son of Man, that's my Father right over there. Son of God, my Heavenly Father, amen. Speaking after the things of the invisible world. Well, which one are you going to speak by? Well, I'm going to speak as a man. Well, it's appointed unto man to die. Then the judgment. But I'm a son of God, amen. I'm sealed in, hid away, amen. You understand that? This is the way we want to speak. The Bible teaches us to pray in the Spirit, to speak in the Spirit, think on spiritual songs and hymns. We need to change our confession. Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. If he's the high priest of our confession should be in him and what he's done. He said he gave me everything that pertain in life. I happen to believe that. He said he hid me away, sealed me in. I believe that. Amen. He said I'm more than a conqueror. I believe that. Last enemy of God was death. I believe that it's conquered. If it wasn't conquered by Jesus Christ in the crucifixion and resurrection, then somebody tell me when it's going to be conquered. Well, I know that people are still dying. You know, the Bible says that I die every day. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Take up your cross daily. That's the death. That's the only death that you'll see, and it's towards that man, humanity side. But in the spirit side, I'm hid away, sealed in, eternal, living forever. Was leaping for joy before the world ever was. Have no beginning and have no end. Amen. Why? Because I'm after God. Created in the image of God. Not this fleshly image, the image of God, the eternal living God. You see, we got to learn to think properly. We got to learn to think correctly. You know, if he gives us the fruit of our thoughts and you think that you're a sinner, then you are a sinner. And all sinners have their part in the lake of fire. The Bible said if you're a sinner, that your father is the devil. Right. I could read it to you in the scriptures. He who sins is of the devil. So when we got these churches teach us that we're sinners and we sin every day, that preacher needs to get born again. Somebody cast the devil out of him for he could get truly born again and get his eyes open. Amen. I can't sin. Because that's what the Bible says. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. Well, what are you, brother? I'm a son of God. Amen. You see, sin is death. The Bible says and teaches us that the sting of sin is death. So if we're going to be sinners, that means that there's going to be death. Amen? But I've already died. So I can't die no more. Amen? Well, the Bible said some are twice dead. But those are still yet what you call living. They're walking among us now. There's some twice dead plucked up by the roots that are living. You don't understand what death is. You think, well, when they put somebody in a box, that's death. Jesus called it sleep. If they were a child of God, eternal, sealed in, and predestined and predetermined in Jesus Christ, they never died. He said Lazarus was asleep, didn't he? Well, what are you speaking about? He is the resurrection. He said that before he was resurrected. When was he resurrected? Before the world ever was. You see, we're too carnal, we're too natural, we're too timely. You see, in the spirit world, it's not time. Time is numbered with man. And we get into this time perspective of a human thought and have what we call a timely type God. Oh, well, he's coming, he's this. He is. You want to talk about the God that was and the one that is to come? I'm talking about the one that is. He is. He is now. He is the I am. He's ever present. He's here. He's in me. He's dwelling here. He's alive. He's well. Amen. Are you serving a God that's alive? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read here some scripture. Amen. Are you glad you came to the house of God this morning? I'm commanded to preach the gospel. I'm commanded to speak about the things of the Spirit. This is where I want to teach. The Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. You know, there's a time that we've got to grow up in God. There's a time that we've got to start eating of the things that are real and get out of the religious ideologies and the religious rambling and the religious wandering, the religious vomit. It's a small flock, few be there that find a straight and narrow way. Amen. 1 Timothy 2nd chapter. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which become women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Amen. So many wonderful things could be taught. If we took and expounded on that complete chapter right there, I could truthfully say it would take many multiplied hours to expound on every one of these scripture references that we've read in here. Hours. There's a lot of things that are so beautiful. When he talks about the woman's silence, you know, so many times we go to the ladies, you know, the feminine, and we look at them saying to be silent in the church. And that's the proper understanding and a proper way not to usurp authority over man as any kind of teachers or leaders in the house of God. And we do understand that. But you know, there's a greater silence that needs to be projected out of that scripture. Because I find that they got men pastors in many churches, but it would really be a woman that's speaking forth in the church. Because we understand that this woman is this natural carnal mind of the first. Now, this would be possibly confusing to some. And the confusion's of the devil. And I'm not of the devil, and I'm not confused about what I'm saying whatsoever at all. Confusion would only come to you because you haven't submitted into the mind of revelation or the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got to hear the end of the matter. Now, so oftentimes, you know, we say things without understanding. You know, if we would go and interview the majority of the religious people in our country and say, are you the bride of Christ? And they'd say, yes, I am. How many could say that? I could raise my hand and say, hallelujah, I'm the bride of Christ. Okay, but then you look at me as a man, right? But then yet I say I'm bride. He said, well, he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You see, he's perfected me once and for all by his works at Calvary, made me pure and clean, spotless, a virgin. You see, so now what are we doing again? We're differentiating dimensions between spirit, soul, and body. Now, if I ask many of you and I'd say, well, if we have a natural, physical, and spiritual, and a body, soul, and spirit, then if I'm the bride of Christ, because I know that in the natural world that I'm a man, so if I'm a bride, it would make it in the spirit world. So it's a spiritual thing. But then yet we void the scriptures again, don't we? Because there's no male nor female in the spirit. So if I tell you that I'm a bride, and then yet you say there's no male nor female in the spirit, then how could I say that I'm a bride when I'm a man? It has to be something spiritual. Well, if we go and look at this, we have a natural, physical, spiritual, a body, soul, and spirit, a first heaven, second heaven, and a third heaven. This is all doctrine. It's all scriptures. But I'm just saying these things for we could get some kind of a concept of understanding that we could go into some things to learn who we are in Christ and quit being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and getting tossed around by this world and the world order. We're in a mass day of deception. There's Antichrist spirits in this world now. You know, people think, well, the Antichrist is going to reveal himself someday. He's been revealing himself, said there's many Antichrists among us. The Bible said that the ministers of Satan have transformed himself into ministers of light. They're deceiving. Satan's strength and power and everything is in the organized religious structures of this world. That might sound offensive to you. That's why I stood before you at the beginning and said, I don't serve the same Jesus that some of these others do. My God is alive. He's well. He's the spirit of truth and power and holiness. The Bible said if they preach any other doctrine than what he preached, let him be accursed. His doctrine was pure, clean, and holy and righteous. But they're preaching another form of God and another doctrine. Who are you speaking about? Anybody outside the true Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're differentiating. So I stand before you and say I'm the bride of Christ. I also stand before you and say I'm a son of God. Well, are you a son of God Or are you a son of this man sitting over here, which I call my father? Well, yes, I am. I'm a son of man because that's my dad. Okay, so then if I'm a son of God, then I have a heavenly spirit father. Amen? Now, when we think of the spirit father, and we think of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is that the spirit, the overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and brought forth a son of man. But he didn't come forth from the loins of man. He came forth from the spirit. So we see that in this middle realm, the second heaven. Now, the Bible said, I don't know whether I was in body or was in spirit, but I do know that I was caught away into the third heaven. Okay, so if your Bible teaches that there's a third heaven, if I stand before you and I say, Tanya's husband is my third kid. So somebody automatically knows that I had a second and a first one. Is that true? Amen. If I'm driving my third automobile, it means I had a one and a two automobile. So if I'm speaking about a third heaven, I know there's a first and a second. Now, you're not going to find a scriptural reference saying a first or a second, but we find one for the third, so we know there has to be a first and second. One has to do with the body, one has to do with the soul, and one has to do with the spirit. So now when we go to understanding this and these things, we need to understand where God is and lives and dwells. Now, if the Bible teaches us that we do not know Him after the image that He walked on the earth in, no more. We're not to know Him after that, no more. You know what the Bible said? This will sound offensive to some, but the Bible said that Jesus came in the image of what? Sin. And you say He was created in the image of God. Now, wait a second. The Bible says that you were created in the image of God. What is the image of God? You say, well, Jesus Christ was the image of God. He was an object of worship. You see, we have to start learning and differentiating. He's here now. He's in us and through us. Is that a person? Jesus is a person. I say, yea and amen. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Spirit of God, the Father, is a spirit. No man is seen. That's not a person. Omnipresent everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go, He's there. The highest height, the deepest depth, He's there. He's spirit. What's the Holy Ghost? It is the spirit that had been personified and understood of men. You see, the spirit of the Father was invisible. Man didn't understand, nor know, nor see, until Jesus came and took the fullness of that spirit and walked among men, that we could understand and perceive the attributes of God. So then we have this personification of God walking with us, the person of God walking amongst us in the flesh. He took that image of the sin nature. That's what the Bible said. He came in the image of sin and had it smitten on the cross of Calvary for you and I. So then if we number ourselves with Him, we've been crucified with Him at the cross of Calvary. So we've died. So in that death, then we also resurrect. You know, do you just go through the motions of baptism and go get baptized for you can be wed? Or do you believe what the Bible teaches and the Scriptures say? I've been crucified with Christ. So there's a death that takes place there. When something dies, it must be buried. So we bury it in that water, and it comes forth as a new creature in Christ Jesus. You say, well, is the power in the water? No, it's in the blood. Amen. Speaking of understanding of the first, second, and third heaven, which one do you live in? Which heaven are you in? If I ask you as a man, you say, well, where are you at and what heaven are you dwelling in? Well, what you see and what you touch would be in the first heaven. If you want to talk about the third heaven, my kingdom is without observation. The Father's invisible. It's a spiritual realm. That's the third heaven. Now, it's attainable. There's a door open in that third heaven. Jesus Christ is the door. And He opened up a door that we could go in. Amen?
Amen.
To the third. So where's the second heaven at? If what you walk and touch and feel and see out here has to do with the first, then where's the second? It has to do with the soul. So in the soul realm, what takes place in the second heaven in the soul realm? War and fight. This is where we're equipped. Now if I talk about the third heaven, it's where we're hid away, sealed in Christ. Nothing can be laid to our charge. There's no sorrow there. There's no sickness there. There's no death there. There's nothing there. It's all peace. It's a beautiful, tranquil place, amen. Now we can be partakers of it now by bringing this heavenly presence and power and spirit and anointing of the Holy Ghost with us, that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we have peace and we can speak to the and take authority over the principalities and powers of this world. So we think of the second heaven and we think of the cross. Jesus Christ came into second heaven. He said he condescended to men of a less estate. So where did he condescend from? From the third, the invisible, and made manifest, seen, and understood, and comprehended of all men, because he came and brought these invisible attributes of the living God into a manifestation that we could see, perceive, and understand God. Amen. And he walked among men, and they didn't know him. What do you mean they didn't know him? Some did, but it was a small flock. I mean, he chose 12, and one of them was a devil. I mean, think of the great things that he did when he walked among. I mean, the healings and different things that took place. We think of the lepers. Only one came to praise him for what he'd done. The others had it out. It's no different today. It's no different whatsoever. So if we have a body, soul, and a spirit, and a Father, Word, and a Holy Ghost, and a first, second, third heaven, a natural, physical, and spiritual world, then we need to start understanding these and quit walking in blindness of religious wondering. And start knowing who we are in Christ. Start speaking. Let him be the high priest of our confession. When you confess that you're a sinner, then that's what you are. Well, Brother Rob, I got to confess that I'm a sinner for I can be saved. Oh, if that's where you're going, yes, you need to confess that that's what you are. And it's death. And you need to confess that and pray and believe and trust the Lord and be filled with his Spirit. And when you're filled with his Holy Ghost and filled with his Spirit, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus and you no longer speak after the former things. It's been buried. It's been crucified. Do you believe that you died with Christ? Do you believe that you were buried with him? Do you believe that you were resurrected with him? You need to. Or otherwise, it's just vanity and vain. I mean, I believe it. He's my God. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my salvation. He's my Savior. He's the Prince of Peace, the power of salvation. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. Hid me away and sealed me in. Amen. I'm living forever. I'm not looking for eternal life. I'm living it. I love the Word.
Amen.
I love the Lord. I love His Spirit. And we need to get real. If He's the high priest of your confession, then what is your confession? I'm eternal, living forever, can't die. That's my confession. And if he's going to be the high priest of my confession, then this is granted to me because I believe. But if your confession is that you're a sinner and that you sin every day, then you're on your way to hell because that's what sin is. It's the sting of death. The carnal mind is death, the Bible says. It's a state of mind. It's a state of thought. We got to come and change the way we think. I'm just speaking by the Word of God. The Bible says not laying again the foundation of repentance to go on. You know, people want to talk about, well, you know, praise God, Jesus died for me. Hey, I like to talk about that too. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you for washing me in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's my testimony. But somewhere we got to go beyond the testimony of Jesus dying for you. If we're commanded not to lay again the foundation of repentance. So we got to go on, brothers and sisters, and we'll never depart the foundation of the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to use it as a foundation to go into the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Amen? And quit pleading the blood of Jesus for your willful sin because it does not atone for it. That's sad that so many people think that they can continue to walk as a sinner and live in the world and they're going to plead the blood of Jesus. Oh God, forgive me. Said there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin. Remaineth no more. Jesus does not wash away with his blood your willful sin when you know to do right and don't. Read it for yourself in Hebrews 6 and 10. It's very clear. It tells you that. It says you have one thing to look forward to, the fiery indignation of God. What is the fiery indignation of God? Being cast into hell, the lake of fire. But not to the Son of God. You see, a son of God, when they trespass against God, it's not imputed to them as sin. The Bible said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. If he imputes sin to you, that's death and you die. So he's not going to impute sin to his children. But if we trespass against him, then we're going to find the chastening of him. He said he chastens them that he loves. You know, when you teach a doctrine that you can't sin and you don't sin, people say, what do you think? You're perfect. Oh, I know I'm perfect.
Amen.
Boy, Brother Rob, you're going to get yourself in trouble. I'm just telling you what he said.
Right.
He said he perfected us once and for all by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Yeah. Does your Bible say that or do I got just my own? Do I got some weird translation? No, it's called the King James Bible. And it said that he's perfected us once and for all.
Amen.
But then yet we go over to another dimension and he sent me as a minister to perfect you. How can I perfect you when he's already done it? You see, we're calling forth the perfecting of Jesus Christ, the invisible things of that invisible world, and we're calling them forth into this world that we see, touch right now, that we can see, and we bring forth the attributes of God. This is righteousness, this is holiness, this is power. This is what we're called to do. We're called to walk in the attributes of the living Word. Amen? So then what we're doing is we're calling forth the invisible things of this third heaven into a second heaven, condescending and bring them down here where we're walking in a warfare and a travail. You see, I'll say some things to help you understand what I'm saying. There's so many doctrines that people get involved in. Many of them are right, but they don't go on to the full measure or the full understanding of it. You see, it doesn't matter where you want to go. Some believe that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are three persons. Okay? Some don't believe that. Some believe that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead, which the Bible says. So then we find a oneness doctrine, a Trinity doctrine, a two-ness doctrine, and they're all three really right if they would keep all the other things in order and concept. We have some that believe in pre-tribulation rapture. We have some that believe in mid-tribulation rapture, and we have some that believe in post-tribulation rapture. Well, they all three have Bible. Well, I choose to believe in mid-tribulation rapture. I believe that you believe in pre-tribulation rapture. Well, see, the thing is it's again, they're all three right, and they're chiding with one another. They're all three right in part, but they don't take the fullness of it. You see, the oneness say, well, there's one God. The Bible says one God, one faith, one baptism. We just read it. Says it over in 1 John. It speaks about it again. It speaks about it in numerous places. It talks about it in the Gospel of John. Philip said, when will we see the Father? How can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. Now you separate that and make two persons out of that. You see, I'm just talking about understanding doctrine. But we get these ideologies of man with their human reasoning and their human wandering and their doctrines of men, where ministers of Satan have transformed themselves in and called themselves preachers and ministers, and they come in with all this trash and false doctrine, deceiving spirits. Try the spirit and see if it be of God. See, we're afraid to turn away from something that's preaching a different doctrine than what Jesus preached, and we should turn and run from it. If you hear anything from this sacred desk today that's not in this word or didn't hear Jesus speaking about these things, then you should run from it. I'm not here to try to convert anybody into some denomination or some sect of people or whatever. I'm here to teach people how to live overcoming lives in Christ Jesus. That's all I want to do. But there's so many people tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They're confused and they don't know what to believe. We need to have a confession of Him and Him alone. He is our God, the one and only God, the true God. And we need to love Him and worship Him and give Him our life, everything. That's what we have to do. So when we start looking at what people believe and what they think, there's so many people confused and not sure what they're supposed to do or how they do it or where they do it, when they do it, why they do it. We want to be accurate to the Scriptures and the Word of God. So if He made Himself twain, then we make ourselves twain. Again, I could speak to you as a man. Now see, people won't find fault with this to say, as I could speak as a man. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, God, who's going to deliver me from this wretched man? Oh, God, I'm a failure. God, I'm weak. God, it's appointed unto me to go back to the dust and to perish. You see, I could speak like that. And you could say, oh, yeah, it's about time you got your eyes open. But you see, I'm speaking now after the first man, Adam. I'm speaking after the similitude of Adam. I'm speaking after the natural carnal life. But my Bible says that, you know, this body that was made with hands through the acts of a man and a woman unifying together. And this is not the one. This is not the one we serve. He created us another. You know, there's celestial worlds, spirit bodies and flesh bodies. And we got to learn to understand this. If Jesus came in the image of sin, what is my first birth? The image of sin. I'm not to worship this. I'm not to cater to this. I got to mortify and kill Him out. Not yesterday or the last camp meeting or some great revival. It's a daily thing. Kill Him out. He wants to resurrect every single day. He wants to do what He wants. He wants to talk the way He wants. He wants to build the business He wants or go where He wants or vacation and do it. It's all flesh. And when you're operating under the flesh and the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, you will perish according to the Scriptures and the Word. So what do we got to do? Be born again. You were birthed naturally. You start learning the ways of man, raising up in the ways of man, being indoctrinated by the ways of man. They send you to your schools and colleges, and they teach your mind to think like a man and look like a man and walk like a man and talk like a man, looking for popularity and doing all those things. But that's the world that we've got to crucify. That's the world that's got to die. That's the world we've got to put under our feet. And we take all authority and power over that in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're caught away daily. If we mortify the deeds of the flesh daily, you want to talk about rapture? So I'm crucified with Christ every day. And then I'm caught away, the Bible says, into heavenly places. What is a catching away? It's a rapture. So I'm raptured every single day. There's a rapture taking place. And I'm caught up to the throne of God every day. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Rob, but wait a minute. The Bible said that we're hid away in Him, sealed in, and nothing could be laid to our charge. We can't be touched. I say, yea and amen. There is the place in the Spirit that we abide forever. But we're talking about bringing the spiritual quickening of the Spirit down in here to manifest among men as something that could be seen, because men cannot see the invisible things of God. So we bring the invisible attributes into this man by killing this man out, getting him out of the way, and let Christ live and dwell. And like I said earlier, it's no longer the minister speaking, but Christ speaking through him. He says, don't take any thought of what you're going to say, but just go forth. Why don't you put no thought? Because we allow the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to move into us and speak. He knows your needs. He knows what you need. He knows that. See, I could have come in here this morning and said, well, we're going to teach over here. We're going to go over there. We're going to do this. We're going to say that. But we're trying to stay with the Scriptures and the Word of God and follow the mind and the voice of God. Do you believe that God's alive? Amen. Do you believe He's well? Do you believe He's here?
Amen.
Oh, well, I'm waiting for Him to come. Well, He said if two or three could come together in my name, He's there. He said He's in us. The kingdom of God is now, the Bible says. Now we are the sons of God, the Bible says. Are you a son of God? Do I have any sons of God in here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I'm a son of God. Now we are the sons of God. Why are you a son of God? Because I've been birthed and born by God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We're sons of God. Now we are. Didn't say we're going to be. The Bible said that the world doesn't see us of what we are. But when He appears, that we'll appear with Him. And then they'll know who we are. But we always have been sons of God.
Amen.
I say son of man. There's my Father, Son of Man. You see it, touch it, look at it. But I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about the image of God, the sons of God. The world won't see it. Why doesn't the world see it? Because they don't see good when good comes and they're blind. Jesus said when He was speaking to them, He said, though you have eyes, you don't see. Though you have ears, you don't hear. What is He saying that for when they're looking at Him? Because He wasn't speaking about sight with these eyes. We're talking about now we are the sons of God. And if you would open up your eyes and ask God to remove the blinders off of your eyes and pray that He would open up your spiritual eyes, then you could see, amen, and you would recognize the sons of God. And you would know that you passed from death unto life because you love the brethren.
Amen.
Amen. So I was speaking about this scripture, talking about suffer not the woman to teach nor sup authority over a man. When a man is natural and carnal minded, and he's a preacher and he's behind a sacred desk teaching out of an intellectual college degree application and a theologian, that's the woman taking authority over a man. And you say, I don't know about that. I don't know if I could see that. I don't know if I believe that. Well, that must mean that if a woman gets up there and she's under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and it would be a man up there. No, you got things crossed up. We don't cross those dimensions like that. I've heard all that. Well, there's no male or female in the Spirit. So when I get up there and preach, a woman says, you know, I'm in the Spirit. So, you know, it's no longer a woman. Somebody cast the devil out of that swine. Boy, you can't talk like that. Somebody cast the devil out of that swine. Don't be speaking disrespectful. What, am I supposed to respect a swine? I mean, Jesus showed what we do with pigs when they all went into the Sea of Galilee, didn't He? Huh?
Amen.
You can't talk like that. And Jesus did. He spoke like that. He called them dogs, snakes, and vipers. Why would He do that? Because that's what they were. He had understanding. He wasn't looking through the eyes you look at this world in. He was looking through the eyes of the Spirit. And there's scorpions and serpents and snakes and vipers. He gave us authority to put them under our feet.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, people get into so much mysticism and different stuff, and they got these funny, you know, ideas what God is. Man, God is an awesome God. He's alive. He's well. Never left us nor forsaken us. He's living with us. He's in us. We're through Him. He's through us. Amen. We're all part of Him. I'm the body of Christ. Amen. I have no fear of death because I've passed from death unto life. I'm eternal, living forever. I'm not seeking after salvation. I'm not seeking after eternal life. I am eternal life and salvation because it's living in me and I'm one with Him. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You see, people get offended when you talk like that because they've been talking in their poor mouth religious ideology. And, you know, walking through life, oh, I'm a sinner and I sin every day. Well, you poor stinking devil. I had a preacher come to me mad at me. You know, he said, I just don't, you know, like things that you're teaching stuff. He goes, I'm a sinner and sin every day. And I said, well, you're of the devil. Don't you tell me that. And I said, I'm just telling what the Bible said. I'm called in defense of the word. His confession was he was a sinner. So I got to go to the word. And the Bible said that ye that sin are of the devil and your father's the devil. So he said he's a sinner. I said, well, then your father's the devil. You're the one that said it. I didn't say it. You said it. So you're not a sinner, Brother Rob? Oh, I was. For all sin and falling short of the glory of God. But I've passed from death unto life. Now I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror.
Amen.
You see, I keep saying those things, but I'm wanting you to believe what I'm saying. Well, for my sake? No, for your sake. Because he's no respecter person. What he's done for me, he can do for you.
Amen.
Amen? And you just got to simply believe that you are a son of God. I was like, that's simple, believing, yeah, with your heart. Oh, now we got a problem. Now we got a problem because man's heart's continually evil and deceptive. And he doesn't know his own heart. Oh, but I said the prayer, you know, we had a church really fired up meeting, man, back 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 5 years. Man, the Spirit of God was moving so much, I felt the goosebumps on the back of my neck and my hair was tingling and stuff. Oh, man, I felt these little things go all over me. And I said a prayer. I said, oh, Jesus, come in my heart. Well, praise God. I'm thankful that you've done that. You might have received a touch and an infilling of the Holy Ghost then. But I've seen a lot of people say that prayer. The preacher says, I want you to come up here if you don't know Jesus. So they all come up here and he said, say this prayer with me. Oh, I confess with my mouth, which is Bible. Believe in your heart. They don't know what that is. Oh, God, help my unbelief. Oh, I truly believe that Jesus came and died for me. So does the devil. He don't have eternal life. The Bible said that he believes with fear and trembling. And many of you don't even have fear and trembling. Oh, but I know Jesus. He loves me so much, he would never let me die and perish. But then yet, people came and stood before him. He said, look, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. And they were cast into eternal damnation. And then yet, you know, God, this one God, the same God, to every generation, when his elect people were walking through the wilderness and they murmured and complained against his servant, he opened up the land and swallowed up thousands of them. But then yet, you know, we want to ramble through life. He said, if a man look upon a woman and lust ever, he's committed adultery. And the Bible said, no adulterers entered in. Now we're talking about when I say that you say that you're the bride of Christ and you got friendship with the world. He said, if you're friends with the world, that he's not in you. And if he's not in you, you're not his. You're not a son of God. Because if you're a son of God, it's because his spirit liveth in you. The Bible said, the same spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ shall dwell within your mortal body. And it will change you in that moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
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 Let's get real with the scriptures and the word of God. I don't want to be religious vomit. I don't want to be a stench in the nostrils of God. I want to be real.
Amen.
I'm in love with Jesus and he loves me and I love him. I've passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. Why do I love the brethren? Because I see Jesus in them. I see the power of salvation living and functioning and dwelling amongst the brotherhood. That's something to love. Oh, I see stumbling and staggering. Amen. Have you looked through the blood? Have you seen through the perfecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Sometimes we think that only the blood applies to ourselves. We don't allow it to be applied to others and their weaknesses and things, but let you that are weak call upon him, for he can make you strong. Amen. So as we look into the scriptures here, we're trying to differentiate you and I as the Son of God and a Son of Man. We're trying to differentiate and understand in our own selves who we are in Christ. For we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Because we know if it's the wrong doctrine, that we'll be put out and cast out. As the Bible says, accursed. See, many times we would think, well, all of these out here can't be wrong. We got to understand the seven spirits of God, the seven churches. We got to find out that through this course of time of what we call the church, and we use the terminology of church ages, that things have been coming. The Bible talks about a brighter light. There's a brighter light which has to do with understanding. We're at the threshold, brothers and sisters, of a catastrophic event to this world.
Amen.
You know, and we want to think about the works of Jesus Christ, but we got to also know that we are the works of Jesus Christ, that now we are the sons of God, and that the world out here, the only way that they'll come to Jesus Christ is by being drawn by His Son. Amen? We're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We can't reject His doctrine or His word. So again, in differentiating, we got to know who we are in Him. We got to know what we have to do. This last scripture down here in this passage of scriptures, it says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." This is salvation to a woman. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Well, I knew this lady that was married to a good friend of mine, and she was barren. She couldn't bring forth a child. So that means she's lost on her way to hell. Is that what you're saying, preacher? You know, if she's saved in childbearing, come on, brother. What is the deal? I'm just reading the scriptures to you. See, there's so many thoughts and so many minds. Well, I'm the bride of Christ. Why did He marry me? Why did He marry me? To reproduce His image. Now, I'm speaking to you as the bride. Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm sitting over here saying, no, I'm a son of God. Oh, no, I'm a bride of Christ. You're a schizophrenic preacher. You got no business being up there preaching the gospel, man. There's something wrong with you. You're saying one minute you're the bride of Christ. You're over here saying the next minute you're a son of God. That's confusing. I don't want nothing to do with this. You better get in the scriptures.
Amen.
He made Himself twain. He's our God. We're giving everything to Him. If you don't think that Jesus' word is true and it's yea and amen, then go find Muslim doctrine. Go find Allah or something. But I'm telling you, I preach His gospel of Jesus Christ. He said He was twain, both Lord and Christ. I understand Him and know Him both ways. I know Him as the Son of Man. I know Him as the Son of God. I know what the Son of Man did. He came to the earth and was crucified that I could have life and life more abundantly. Amen. That He could send back His Spirit, and His Spirit lives and dwells within me. Amen. And it changed me. Amen. Daily, I'm caught up with Him. I'm dwelling with Him. I'm walking with Him. I'm led by Him. I'm talking with Him. I'm supping with Him. He's in me and I'm in Him. It's real.
Amen.
It's not a goosebump. It's not a green mist floating over there. I've seen a green mist. Oh, you poor thing. Help him, Jesus. There's so many people out there that are just, they're wanting some kind of a vindication. They're wanting something. And all they need to do is get filled with the Holy Ghost, man. And all power and all truth and all salvation and all love and all trust and all hope and everything is there living in you, emanating through you. And there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. So we're talking about this woman now. "But I suffer not a woman to teach nor sup over the man, but in silence. For Adam was first formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a transgression." Do you think that the bride of Christ is deceived if the woman's deceived? No. There's something that took place with her. She was purified, glorified, and made pure without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Guess what she did? Where's she at? Where is this bride? Well, let me ask you a question. If you're going to be born again, there has to be a woman involved, right? Well, I mean, you talk about when you was born the first time, there had to be a man and woman come together. Is this true or false? And you'll find that these things run dimensions and patterns, that we can understand the invisible things by the things which do appear, according to the Bible, that we can understand this. So we see that, naturally speaking, a man marries a woman. She's his bride. They have the marriage relationship, the intimacy. And from the loins of the man, a seed goes forth into the womb of the woman, and she brings forth a child. Now, this is all something that we can understand. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, so now we're trying to understand that I'm born again in the Spirit. So there has to be a seed. The Bible said it's the seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. Well, where did this seed come from? From the Heavenly Father. And it's the seed of life, of the Spirit. There's a blood seed. We say semen or the blood seed, and it's in another dimension, but we're talking about water, blood, and spirit. The Bible said that there's three agree in the earth, water, blood, and spirit. That's what the Bible says. It said these three agree in one, and then it said there's a heavenly witness, and we speak about Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. So the heavenly witness is Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. So we're talking about a seed now. There's a spirit seed, and it remaineth in you. Where's the kingdom of God? It's within us. Where's the rivers of life? Within us.
Amen.
Where's the fountain of life? Within us. Where is the joy of salvation? It's in us. Light being formed in darkness. Darkness is your first birth. The image of the woman. The image of the fallen nature. The image of the beast. This is the feminine. This is the woman part. But it was saved in childbearing. God sanctified it and cleansed it and washed it and made it pure that he would not be a whoremonger, being God, that he could enter into this relationship, the woman saved in childbearing, that the seed could go forth and reproduce after his image and bring forth the sons of God.
Amen.
I like the gospel.
Amen.
Now we are the sons of God. But wait a minute. You were just saying to use the bride of Christ. So I'm making myself twain, both bride of Christ and both son of God. The Bible says, when we go over and look in the book of Revelations, that this woman, when she was in travail to bring forth the child, the red dragon was there to devour the child. But then yet there was a place prepared for the woman in a wilderness. You see, when you think about the wilderness, when they left Egypt, the bondage, and we could talk about of this first birth, and then they left Egypt, and where did they end to go to? They went into a wilderness. They went through this Red Sea representing this blood, and they entered into this wilderness. And they wandered around there for 40 years. Was that necessary? No. They could have went straight into Canaan. But because of unbelief and murmuring and complaining, they wandered around there. You see, there's some people that come to a knowledge in your Egypt, your first birth, and you come to a knowledge about this Jesus Christ and his blood. And you've come through the blood, which the whole world has come through the blood of Jesus. All of the sin of all of the world was forgiven by the bloodshed of Lord Jesus Christ. And they come to this knowledge and they come into this wilderness. But they got to keep on going and enter into Canaan land. You see, the earth opened up and swallowed up some of the natural elect out there. And some of these others, you say, are the spiritual elect being swallowed up maybe out there in the thing? No, it was just to be made manifest that they was never of him, because he said he never lost the one except the son of perdition. So the thing is that what I'm saying is you've got to make your calling and your election sure by coming through the wilderness, through that blood, and you come all the way through. You fight against the principalities and the powers of darkness and Satan, and you take up the weapons of your warfare and you fight, amen, because we're soldiers for Christ, amen. And we got all power and all authority over the things of this world, and we put them under our feet. But when you're in the world, frolicking in the world, fellowshipping in the world, and partaking of the world, it means you are of the world and your father's the devil. This is why we preach like this. For you can come out and be a separate people. Whoever you yield your members to, the Bible says is who you are of. If you got the love for this world, if you want to be out here and frolic in the world, if you want to be in the nightclubs and the dance halls and the drink and the snort and the lie and the cheat and all the filth of this world, if you got a homosexual friend, you're lost on your way to hell. If you got a lesbian friend, you're lost. Just let me tell you, I'm saying it, thus saith the Lord, because two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And when you want to go out there and get them and call them your friend, and oh, but they're sons of God too. Oh, they're Christians. You ain't never met a Christian homosexual. There ain't no such thing. They're filthy, perverted. That's good enough. Filth and perversion. I don't want no part of that. Amen? Boy, you sure come down on them hard. Well, I don't like drunkards and whoremongers and liars and deceivers and cheats. They all have their part in a lake of fire. Every single one of them. The Bible said friendship with the world is adultery. So the thing is, if you're friends with the world, and if the world's in you, then God's not there. You can't have both. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't have two gods. You're going to choose one or the other. So choose ye this day the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be your God. Let him be your Savior. Let him be your salvation. Amen. So we find that this woman being saved in childbearing, so we find that Jesus Christ came. He shed his blood and paid the price and purchased you and cleansed you and made you pure and righteous, that you could be caught away into the Holy of Holies, amen, and go into this relationship with him, amen, that the seed could go into you, and it's the seed that keepeth you from sin, because sin is death. And then once you've been partakers of that, then you know that you've passed from death unto life, because you're eternal, hid away, sealed in, and caught up to the throne of God, amen, dwelling with him there forever and ever. Let's get into the mind of Christ, man, and understand where we are, who we are, why we're there, and what's taking place, and quit playing with religious games. I tell you, religious people are disgusting to me. Now, I know true and undefiled religion is such as taking care of the widows and orphans. Amen, I understand. But I'm talking about the religious vomit. That's what the Lord calls it. He said, vomit upon his tables. That's what the Lord said, vomit. Why is it a vomit? Because it's a stench in the nostrils of God. Does anybody in here like the smell of vomit? Somebody pukes. Oh, hey, let me have that. Let me smell. Man, that smells good. Oh, yeah, man, that's really nice smell and stuff. Man, it's a stench, ain't it? It's not easy to get it out of a car if somebody gets car sick or an airplane. I mean, it's just rank. Well, that's what you are in your religious ramblings and ways. Vomit on the tables of God. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth when you're lukewarm. That's when you got a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What does that mean, Brother Rob? It means when you just got a form of godliness, oh, I am a Christian. I've accepted Jesus. Then you ramble through the world and frolic in the world and talk like the world and dress like the world and look like the world. Paint yourself up like the world. You're a stench in the nostrils of God and you're vomit. Come on, preacher, man, be nice. I love you. This is being nice. I'm trying to run the devil off.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said you know if the preacher's called of God, because why? Why do you know he's called of God? Why? 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 Because he turns people from sin.
Amen.
Amen. But today they just want to tickle the ears. Oh, God loves you. He loves everybody. Here's our Christian queer. Let him sing today. You know what? Jesus ran the money changers out of the house of God. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, the devil's there also. So what the Bible says, Jesus chose 12. One of them was the devil. So the thing is I don't care where you go, you're going to find the devil there.
Amen.
If you don't want to see him there, then you stay home. That's not nice, Brother Rob. Okay. I told you if you don't know what the devil looks like, there's a mirror right back there over the double sink in that bathroom. One in the women's too. They look just alike, man. Kind of just flipped around there and go look. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you came in the image of sin nature. If Jesus came in the image of sin, then what do you think you came in? Oh, but my Bible said that we were created in the image of God. Oh, now we're talking about creation. Well, who was the creation of God then? If we're going to talk about creation, you say, well, Adam was. He was. Did it say in the Bible that he was the first creation of God, or who was it? It was Jesus. And guess what? He came in the image of sin. He said he was the first created of God. And he came in the image of sin. So what your image is the image of sin. But there is the image of the living God, the object of worship that's living and dwelling with us without observation. When this body goes through the metamorphosis, the transfiguration, the change, the Bible calls it, change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and then it'll be changed from telestial to celestial, then it's different. That's a totally different thing altogether. It's not one made by hands. This is a body made by God. Eternal. Amen. The world doesn't see that yet. It's yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation of that. You see this worldly part, the earthen vessel? It's yearning and longing for that change. It's aging. It's growing old. It has pain and aches. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your strength and your power. When we're weak, you can make us strong. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Just trying to help you. Let's stand together. Amen. I appreciate you. Said some things to just make you think. Get into the scriptures. Dig a little bit. Find the scriptures and dig in there just a little. Change your confession. Let Jesus be the high priest of your confession. Know who you are in him. Quit looking for eternal life and become eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Quit looking for salvation and become salvation. You see, we are in this world for one reason, to seek that which is lost and show them and bring them to the light. So you are salvation, Brother Ron? Amen. He's living in me. He's given me the authority to remit sin. Go read in your Bibles. He gave us authority to remit sin. Now, when Jesus was here, he told the man that was sick, laying there, he said, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees there says, oh, nobody can do that except God in heaven. That's the only one that can forgive sins. And they found fault with Jesus. And he said, well, is it easier for me to say, take up thy mat and walk? And he told the man, and he got up. He took up his mat and stood before him. And he went away praising and rejoicing the Lord.
Amen.
He said, which is easier for me to do? So the thing is God give us the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. He made us more than conquerors. And he told us to remit sin. That's what he said. Otherwise, your actions of baptism is in vain. Why do you take somebody to the water hole? Because the Bible says you take them there and you baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. For what?
Remission.
For what? Huh? Come on.
Remission of sin.
Whoa, you're kidding me. I don't have the power of a man to do that. That's not what I'm saying. But it's the power of God that's living in me. It's not a form of godliness denying the power to remit sin. It's God living in me, dwelling in me. And we could lay hands and take authority over the serpent.
Amen.
We could take that which is lost. We could call forth the dead. Well, I'd like to see that. I know I've been calling forth you all morning because you're dead and your trespasses and sin. And I've been looking for that miracle. But some wouldn't see it. A man could get his eyes opened and receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that seed go in there, and they'd be sitting there. They might not scream, they might not shout, they might not have said another word, but boy, that seed, boy, goes right in there. Say, without confessing with their mouth, that'll come.
That's right.
It'll come. It'll come. Well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Well, I didn't speak in tongues. That's okay. That's all right. Just seek him, all he's got, and talk to him, pray to him. If you find yourself hid away with him sometimes and talking to him and worshiping him and praising him, you might find that heavenly language come up from your innermost being as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. There was some that were filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues before they were, you could say, saved, before they was even baptized in water. So what are you going to do with that in your chronological order? You see, we're serving an awesome God. His ways aren't your ways. You need to learn to fall in love with him, serve him, walk with him, fellowship with him. Amen. All right, let's sing a song. We'll close the service. The altars are open this morning. If you're bound with the devil, ooh boy. If you're lost, the altars are open. If you're blood-bought and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, the altars are open if you want to just rejoice and praise the Lord. God's here with us this morning. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to enlighten you. He wants to catch you away, hide you away, seal you in. Amen. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants your cup to overrun. He wants to grant all wisdom and knowledge and understanding to you. He wants to grant discernment to you for you could discern the spiritual things of God. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes and lift our hands to the Lord. The Bible again says, lift up holy hands. Amen. Can you just lift up your hands and praise Him? Say, I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for giving me life. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. I thank you, Lord God, for filling me with your Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, for anointing me with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for rivers of life and living water, Lord God. I thank you for hiding me away and sealing me in. I thank you, Lord God. Praise Him, saints. He inhabits the praises of His people. Worship Him. Amen. He's your God, your King, your Lord, your salvation. Have you made Him your God, your King, and your Lord? Have you chose to worship and praise and honor Him? Give Him your life. Hold nothing back. Give Him your all, and He'll add back in abundance to you. He wants to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessings upon you. Amen. Are you in love with Him? Praise Him. Let Him know you love Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah. Lift up His name far above all. Amen. He's an awesome God. A good God. Hallelujah. Again, I want to thank you and appreciate all of your labors and efforts. Your finances, your lives, your skills, and your talents, your labors. I appreciate y'all. Keep our camp meeting that's coming up here. Keep it in prayer. Ask the Lord to utilize this group, this brotherhood, this church for its glory and for honor. Amen. You may not understand some of the things that were spoken here. I can't expect people to sometimes walk in and perceive and understand these things, but God will lead you into all truth. Amen. When you love Him, you trust Him. He won't let you be deceived. He'll never lead you astray. Amen. I stayed within the guidelines of His Scriptures and His Word. Amen. And if you don't think I did, please come to me with Scripture and Word and reference to me and show me where I've crossed over. And I'll ever be thankful to you with much gratitude. Amen. But I know I got the Spirit of His Word and the Spirit of truth, and I cannot be deceived. Amen. Amen. I know that there's been deceptive spirits that's tried to get me and tried to lay hold on me and get his claws in me. Amen. But it can't. I've taken all authority and power over the serpent with the strength and the power and the infilling of God's Spirit and His Holy Ghost. Amen. And He's helped me. He leads me, guides me, and directs me, and leads me into all truth and set me free. Amen. From the beggarly elements of this world. Amen. Just love Jesus. Fellowship Him. Worship Him. It's good to have the visitors out today. We love you and appreciate you. Amen. Come back to camp meeting and plan on being in camp meeting with us. I'm expecting a mighty, powerful meeting. Why? Because a mighty, powerful God will be here. Amen. I'm going to get my grandson, Gabriel, to dismiss us this morning. Take your part in the kingdom of God. Ask Him to empower you, to fill you, to enlighten you, to anoint you, to grant the spirit of power and wisdom and understanding and discernment. Again, the Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. Your natural understanding will never perceive the things of God. The Bible said these things are hid from the wise and the prudent. Hallelujah. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Ghost and to grant wisdom and understanding. Pray for the gifts of God. Pray for faith. Amen. That He can grant the spirit of faith to you. Amen. Pray that He could grant miracles and discerning of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Amen. Ask Him to grant these things to you. Healing. Amen. That you could walk with all authority and power in His kingdom. I love you all and appreciate you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
God bless.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophy, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.